I'd like to start this episode by giving my condolences to, man, the best member of Congress, or one of the best members of Congress, Thomas Massie. I'd like to give my condolences to him and his family because his wife just passed away. God be with you and God bless you. And I cannot imagine how hard and how difficult that is. So God bless you, Thomas Massie, and God be with you and condolences to you and your family. You want to say something?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hello, everybody. Happy Independence Day.
What did we do on Independence Day?
Do fireworks.
Do you like shooting fireworks?
Yes.
We shoot fireworks to celebrate, right?
Yes.
Because we love...
America.
Yeah. Right. What else do you love?
God and Jesus.
Yes. I love it. All right, buddy. You want to say something?
Yes. Hey, Thomas Massie. I just wanted to say... I am very sorry about your wife passing, and I just want to let you know that she is looking down on you. I want you to please save the Constitution, and happy late Independence Day!
What year did we declare our independence?
1776.
I'm sorry, what year was that?
1776.
Oh, okay. Who did we declare independence from?
The British.
The British. That is correct. Anything else? Do you love America?
Yes.
What else do you love?
God and Jesus.
Amen. God bless you and God bless America. I hope you all had a wonderful Independence Day and I hope you enjoy the episode. What's the name of the podcast?
Red, White, and True, baby.
That's right. Boom.
See ya.
God bless America.
What's up and what is going on? My gosh, it has been... way too long again. Just came off of baseball season, have the distinct luxury and blessing of coaching my son and kids his age and my daughter and kids their age and having the opportunity to make an impact in young people's lives. So I think sports is a really healthy, positive thing for kids to compete, learn and understand winning and losing, because no matter how many participation awards they hand out, when you get to real life, there's winners and losers.
That's it.
Yeah, that's just a fact. I'm sorry. Sorry, kids. Sorry, kids, if you didn't realize that, or if you're a liberal out there listening to this, people lose every day. You're probably one of them. So, sorry. Oops. But with the help of Jesus Christ and God Almighty, we're going to do our best here to try and really dive down into the heart of what is really the issue, because today's news is like drinking from a fire hose. It's impossible to get to all the stories that are going on now. The epic collapse of what is going on in the United States, the intentional collapse, the Cloward Piven of what is going on in the United States of America. Our foreign policy is an absolute disaster. Our monetary, economic, our fiscal policy, it is a disaster. And the worst part about the whole thing, if you ask me, The biggest part of the whole thing is really represented in the title of the show today, which is called Unweaving Generational Web of Lies, or Unweaving Generations of Lies. Because every single thing the government tells you is a lie.
Not just the government. At media at this point.
Well, the media is the government at this point.
True.
They are the front. They are the media propaganda arm,
the cover up
of the Democrat Party and the progressives. And I think it's important to specify this as progressives and not just Democrats, because this is not just a left problem. It is largely a problem of the communist left.
Yeah.
Which when we first started this podcast, I guess largely because of the education, which we're going to get into the education system, but the education that I got growing up, where there's such a limited teaching of communism.
History in general.
I really didn't want to call the left, the Democrat Party, communists.
Right.
We started at socialism, which is really their economic system of governance.
Right.
But they are communists. Let's make no mistake about it. They are just communists. They are central planners. Big federal government impose their will and their policies on you, whether you like it or not, from the expert class. You must listen to the expert class because you're too stupid to understand what the experts know, despite the fact that what the experts tell you is the most ludicrous, stupidest stuff that you've ever heard in your life is the dumbest things ever. Not to mention the fact that the experts, if all the electricity and all the modern life, the things that we live in modern life went away today, they couldn't keep themselves alive.
No.
For anything in the world. They couldn't grow a plant.
I'd be fine.
They couldn't hunt for anything. No. They wouldn't understand how to purify their water. They wouldn't understand. And in large part, you know, modern advances have taken those things away from us having to do those things, which in lots of ways is a good thing.
It made life easy.
It makes it easier for societies to flourish, and we work more on development instead of just developing our societies and growing our economies and building new technologies and doing all these different things, as opposed to just doing the day-to-day things of trying to stay alive. But the experts, despite the fact of how useless and hapless they really are.
All experts are like that.
Not all, but any expert who tells you that they have some dominion over you because of some degree that they have,
right.
Unless we're talking about like building a bridge or like some type of engineering project where like you probably do need some type of special skill. Like there is a place for secondary education.
Right.
Like doctors. Like, you know, you don't want your next door neighbor who, you know, is a landscaper, like, you know, doing your appendectomy. Like no. Probably not a great thing. Yes. Should probably have to go to school to do that. Or like removing a tumor from you.
Yeah.
Right. You don't want your next door neighbor that's a plumber building a bridge. Probably not the greatest thing in the world. Now, if you want to fix the plumbing in your house, like very necessary function, need people to know how to do this. That's a good thing. But those people that think because they have some type of degree or they have some type of certification that gives them dominion, that makes them better than you, gives them some dominion over your life that they can tell you what to do or how to do it and that your opinion doesn't matter. These people are so incredibly dangerous, and it is such a communist perspective. And this is not, you know, I always thought that in large part because of the education that, you know, we get in this country, that the threat from communism was from around the world. It's from outside. Different places around the world. You know, it's funny, though, because Abraham Lincoln said that this country could never be taken down from outside its own shores, that if anybody tried to invade us, they'd never make it west of the Mississippi. Okay, because
snuck in.
Well, he was right. This country can be destroyed. And Abraham Lincoln probably knew it better than anybody that it could be destroyed from inside the country,
right.
Given the fact that he was the president during the Civil War when we almost did destroy ourselves from within the country. But he's extremely right. I just didn't see this. The media lies, the lies from everywhere. We are so blessed and lucky that this independent journalist kind of community has popped up on social media, which I'm not a huge fan of social media. I'm not a huge fan of the internet in general, but there are some very positive things that have come out of this. And this independent journalism, places like War Room with Steve Bannon, God bless him, a political prisoner.
Free Bannon!
Steve, thank you very much. We know that you're on assignment. Best of luck to you. God be with you and come back soon, sir. But also like Dan Bongino, Charlie Kirk, Jack Posobiec, Glenn Beck. Russell Brand has been really good. You know, a lot of these people that have kind of had these awakenings. Candace Owens, people that have grown these massive audiences because people inherently know and understand that the media is just lying to them. And I hate to tell all you guys this because I know that, you know, we all look back to, oh, there's no more Walter Cronkites anymore. Walter Cronkite was a liberal liar. Okay. The dude was a liar. And like the title of the episode, Unweaving the Generational Web of Lies, we are going to try to get in a short period of time here, get to the heart of the issue of when did this expert class, when did this communist progressive push, central planning. The Constitution's an old, dirty, dusty document that we've outgrown and grown past. This godless, secular nonsense. When did this all start? When did this all start? When did they start convincing us of that the separation of church and state meant that you are not allowed to speak about Christianity in public?
Or have a Bible in school.
Now, you, God help you if you have any insults at all for those Muslims. You better not insult those Muslims. But you say something nice about Christianity in public, you are going to get crushed. You even speak of Christianity in public, you are going to get smashed in the country founded on the Bible.
What?
Boom.
Pretty crazy.
I mean, the foundation of this country is largely a deeper contextual writing of the Ten Commandments.
Right.
The Decalogue. That's really all that it is. Our entire law system is really built on the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
I mean, it mostly really is. And if you look at the founding of the country, we've talked about this in previous episodes, the founders write about God throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
The entire thing. There is a specific reason.
It's on our money.
That's right. It is on our money. And look, there are specific reasons why this country has succeeded to the levels that it has. And it's because we are founded on Christian biblical values. Nobody else went as far as we did to say our rights come from God and no man can take them from you. Written a constitution in negative rights saying the government cannot do this, that individuals have the right to do the things that, you know,
free.
They have the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right?
To be free. That's all we want.
And without the jackboot of the government on your neck with everything that you're trying to do. And that's really where we find ourselves right now, is we have this massive communist-style central planning government that seems to be imposing its will and involving itself in every single aspect of our lives. Everything that we do, the government wants to tell us, they want to regulate in some way, shape, or form how we can do that, or what we can do, or when we're allowed to do these things. They want to, down to the smallest, little, tiniest little thing. And that is largely the difference between the MAGAs, the scary MAGA extremists. Would somebody please explain to me what's so extreme about the MAGAs? Before we get into the lies here, I just want to lay this out. Sarah.
Yes.
Oh, I don't think I actually introduced you. We have a special guest, most specialist of guests, my wife, Sarah. Who were the only people in Congress fighting against allowing the government to spy on us?
The MAGAs.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Freedom Caucus.
Right. But
basically.
But yes, you're actually right on the first part of that. The MAGAs. MAGAs. Right. Well, that seems really weird because MSNBC and CNN and ABC, NBC, CBS, Washington Post, New York Times, they all tell us that, oh my gosh, these MAGAs are so fascist.
That's his Karen impression.
Oh my, OMG, oh my gosh, the fascist MAGAs. Okay.
Extremist.
When at any point in time, and by the way, we're going to get to the history of the word fascism here too. Okay, but when at any point in time, they say Donald Trump wants to be a dictator and that the MAGAs, they want to be dictators. They love the dictator Donald Trump. At what point in time would any dictator supporting or dictator be supportive of giving power away from that, themselves?
That don't happen.
No, that's not a thing.
No.
That's really not a thing.
It's not.
And I'm sorry, but I also think that who's the only group of people in Congress that want to cut spending to try to reduce the inflation?
The MAGAs.
Oh, my gosh, man.
Pretty crazy, ain't it?
This is just wild here. Oh, who's basically the only group of people that would like to stop spending billions of dollars for us to involve ourselves in foreign conflicts all around the world?
The MAGAs.
Man, these are some extreme people. I tell you what. They are extremely odd for dictator lovers.
Right.
You got to say that kind of slow. Dictator lovers. Okay. But it is this absurd notion that the MAGA side of the party is extremist. Okay. So we want to get back to God and the Constitution. That's what we want to do. And we want the government to get out of our lives.
Man, that sounds not very extreme to me.
It almost sounds like what this country was founded on, the things that made this country successful for a long, long time. Look, China is an extraordinarily successful, big, fairly wealthy country. Right. Why do you think China constantly has to steal our intellectual property as opposed to creating their own?
Well, let's see. When you are not allowed to think for yourself, you cannot create new ideas. You cannot critically think. You're not allowed to do anything but what we tell you you can do.
That's right. So free market capitalism is inherently the most unselfish form of really economic governance that there really is. Free market capitalism and the ability to be a free people allow you to really entertain the most creative sides of your brain. And they allow, that's why the United States of America is the most creative country in the world. Largely, most of the modern technology used around the world, the vast majority of it was invented and created here.
Well, there's a reason why we have all the best music, the best food, the best entertainment, the best, you know, sports, everything.
Well, some of the food stuff we might have stole and then made better from around the world.
The same.
But no, you're right. At the end, it's one of the reasons why we have the most successful businesses in the world. We have
Everybody wants to come here.
That's right. That's right. There's no other country in the world that you have tens of millions of people trying to jump the border to come into. Nope. By the way, nobody's trying to do that into China, as if they would allow that,
right?
Because at least they operate with some sanity as it relates to, you know, letting people break into their country and then get on welfare programs. But capitalism, right? The most unselfish form of economic governance.
Definitely,
because in capitalism, you have to create a product or a service to give to somebody else before you can be compensated for that. So you actually have to put the work in to make a product or to provide a service to somebody else before you can get compensated for that. This is a very unselfish act. In socialism, and I'm going to just use a small example here. In socialism, and this kind of ties into this like universal basic income thing that you'll hear a lot of liberals talk about, you hear a lot of communists talk about, where they think that everybody should get some minimum basic salary that all of us are paid by the government, taxpayer funded, by the way. Let's go spend some more money we don't have. Let's destroy the dollar a little bit further.
Why not?
You know, it's already 1 foot in the grave. We may as well bury it all the way and then break the United States of America and create Weimar Republic like hyperinflation and starve the people of the United States because then they'll come begging for us to save
them. Well, then they need us.
It's Cloward Piven. It is the plan. This is what they want to do.
Yeah.
They want to starve you.
Why do you think
they're attacking your food supplies? Mm-hmm. Why do you think they're not doing anything that they would need to do to reduce your inflation? They reduce it just enough to where it's somewhat manageable for you. And then they lie to your face about what the inflation numbers actually are, just like they lie to you about everything. But back to my selfish socialist governance plan. Okay, so say you give out universal basic income and you take some, whoever you are, Say it was me. And they flew me out to the middle of nowhere for 8 hours a day, and I dug a hole for 8 hours a day. And then they picked me up and took me back to my house
every day.
And then I came back the next day and had to fill that hole in. I have not created a product or a service for anyone whatsoever, but yet the government is still going to pay me the same as somebody else working to do something that is providing a good or a service for the betterment of the economics of the United States of America or for whatever country you're involved in.
Doesn't seem very fair.
No, it's not fair at all. It is an entirely selfish model because you are entitled to be given something despite what your production or skill level is.
You know what that makes? A bunch of people who don't want to do anything.
That's right. It is also a very non-motivating system,
yes,
which is another reason why communist China and Russia, none of these people were ever famous for the inventions that they had coming out of their system, because people are not inherently motivated to create things when they know they're ultimately going to get paid for something, no matter what they create or don't create anyway.
Which is why people on government assistance don't leave government assistance.
Right.
Just saying.
Right.
They don't get jobs.
And you know, I heard I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to go there. But it is the truth, though. And I get so sick and tired of hearing lies. I'm so sick of the lies. That's one of the reasons why we want to do this episode, because like the amount of lies that we get told, this garbage that they are teaching kids in school, this anti-capitalist garbage is ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. And I'll pose this, because those people that say that capitalism is awful, they would tell you that like JP Morgan and John D. Rockefeller were the worst human beings that ever walked the face of the earth. The robber barons were the worst. Oh my gosh, the monopolies and all these terrible things. And they got so rich and wealthy, they didn't share the wealth. They didn't do anything, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Those guys, the titans of industry back in the day, when the Great Depression hit, John D. Rockefeller and J.P. Morgan funded the federal government.
Not the bank, the actual person, by the way.
Yes, yes. They funded the federal government, not because there was some deal or some kickback program that was created. By the way, think about that. Two men funded the federal government. Think about how much it costs to fund the federal government. Now, you couldn't find the 100 richest people in the United States of America to fund the government. There's no way. It's an impossibility. Elon Musk is, what, the richest man in the world? He's like $250 billion or something like that.
We know that.
Okay, these people are spending $1 trillion every 100 days. $1 trillion every 100 days. That's how out of control the spending has gotten. But also, the guys, the titans of industry today, do you think Zuckerberg would stand up to keep his country moving? Zuckerberg. If you go back and read about John D. Rockefeller and you go back and read J.P. Morgan and why they funded the federal government, because they wanted to save their country because they saw it collapsing.
MAGA.
They were extraordinarily wealthy men. They had absolutely gamed the system. They absolutely did ruthless and brutal techniques as it relates to business.
They most were good guys.
Certainly did. But they also made a selfless decision to save the country that had provided them those opportunities.
Just like all those men who enlisted themselves for World War II did.
Because, by the way, John D. Rockefeller grew up with almost nothing. Not a wealthy man. Grew up in a very, very middle class to lower middle class
family. Takes a lot to get that, to earn that much and to give it away.
And he built U.S. oil on his own back. All right, so I get so sick of the lies of capitalism is so evil. Capitalism is so evil. It is the most unselfish type of economic system that the world has really ever seen.
Well, let me ask you this.
Because it also plays into human nature.
That's what I was going to say. How can something that's not a human be evil? It can't think on its own. Economics can't think on their own. Without human beings, it can't be anything.
Well, I think you could, it takes evil to impose the plan, but I think you could have an evil plan.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true.
Okay. I mean, it seems to me like you could have an evil plan. And by the way, since we're talking about John D. Rockefeller and JP Morgan funding the federal government, do you know that the United States federal government is 18% of our GDP?
It requires exactly.
Our GDP is the entire amount of money that the United States is worth in a year.
Okay. Easy enough.
Okay. Yearly value of what the United States is worth. 18% of the entire value of the United States economic system goes to paying for the federal government. And if you say to yourself, well, that seems like a big number. That's really weird. I wonder what other countries are. Well, that's really funny that you say that, because communist China, who is a massive police state, AI monitors the crap out of their citizens.
You
literally can't take a crap and get toilet paper without showing your facial ID. And if your credit score is too low, they won't even give you. Yeah, if your social credit score is too low, they won't even give you toilet paper.
It's sad.
in China.
Wipe your butt.
So if I just, I'm just, you know, 18% was the United States, 18% of our GDP.
That's a lot.
What do you think China's is? You probably already know the number.
I know the number, but I'd say, I would probably think, I don't know, China's probably like 25.
No. Oh, no. No.
Higher?
No, it's, China is 14%.
What?
14%. We use a 4% higher on our GDP, which, by the way, our GDP is bigger than China's. So we have a bigger GDP. So we're paying a gigantic amount of money just to fund our federal government. The federal government was never intended to be this big.
Well, and I think that people, when you say that and say federal government, people think just, you know, Congress people. No. This is the IRS and everybody who works for it.
Right.
You know, this is a lot bigger than just people that work in Washington.
The ATF, DHS, right. EPA.
Every three-letter
agency you can probably think of, and the 14 secretaries that they have, in which 75% of them haven't even come back to work in Washington, D.C. Their buildings are empty. By the way, part of that GDP to pay for the federal government is paying for the buildings that they work in, too, that they don't work in anymore because they haven't come back from COVID. But we still pay for the buildings.
From COVID? It's like 4 years later.
Well, you know.
They still wear masks, so I'm just going to stop there.
Well, you know, nothing dimes out a liberal more than a woke mask.
That's true. You can tell a Karen. She's got a mask.
And you know, the thing that is really frustrating here is that there are mass amounts of people in this country that believe they are liberals because of the lies that they've been told.
There's a mass amount of people that think they're Democrats. I thought I was a Democrat for the longest time because I thought Democrats were poor people and Republicans were rich people because that's what I was taught.
Yeah, it seems to be the other way around now.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is that for years they told us, well, there's two things that you don't ever talk about in public. There's
politics?
There's one.
What's the other one? God!
You don't talk about religion and politics in public. Well, those two things are your society. Your faith and politics is simply how your society functions.
Yeah, that's true.
More so people should talk. You're not allowed to, I would encourage every single one of you, which I do at the end of every podcast, stop being afraid to talk to people about things. Go up to people and say, you know what? You did a great job at work today. God bless you. God is with you. Christ be with you.
Christ is king.
And by the way, that is a fact. And by the way, I hope you're voting. I hope you're going to vote. And I hope you understand that every single thing that your federal government, every single thing that your government is telling you is a lie.
Yeah.
Is a lie. I mean, for goodness sakes, they're trying to act. Everybody saw the debate meltdown.
If you didn't, you missed it. It was fun.
From our dementia-riddled president, who is a usurper. And has no business being in the White House because he stole his position there.
And he's not running anything right now.
Okay. No. And he's not in charge of anything. He's not in charge of anything at all. He is not the president. He is a figurehead president in every sense of the word. But he goes down and he goes up in this debate on CNN in which the CNN moderators were incredibly fair. I think they were as stunned as we were.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't believe that. But anyhow, they were shockingly fair. And the dude just melts down in front of everybody.
This is why they won't let him go on any just, kind of live.
It's why they call a lid on everything at 4 p.m. That's why when they call a lid on something, that's when the White House stops doing anything for the day. Well, it's come out here recently that if you ask Joe Biden, people have been leaking. By the way, nobody's been leaking from this White House for 3.5 years. Now they're leaking like a sieve. And you got people coming out leaking, saying that if you ask him to do anything outside of the hours of 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., he's useless.
Which, who operates from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.?
Well, look, if there's a new book out. I can't remember what it's called. Oh, I can't remember who the author is either. But it goes through.
Shame.
It is shameful, isn't it?
For shame.
It goes through the process of what has to be done if we have a nuclear weapon fired against us. Or it doesn't even have to be nuclear. Say North Korea fires a missile at us. We have to try to determine whether or not it's nuclear. Mm. Okay, they have to wake the president up. They basically give him an Applebee's menu of, okay, here's the nuclear weapons that we have. Here's the potential targets that we have. Make your selection. okay, this is my selection, these cities. And then they have to calculate how many casualties do you expect
that
they'll have.
How long do they have to do that?
They have 6 minutes to do all this. And then they have to say, oh, well, the wind is blowing this way. Some of that radiation could blow into China. They would see that as a direct threat. Do you want to maybe make a change? Okay, so this dude has not been capable of doing that in 6 minutes since his last campaign.
I don't even think I could do that.
So he's not been capable of doing any of this. His entire presidency, he's not been in charge his entire presidency. There is clips that they hid from the last campaign where they're doing town hall meetings with this dude. And he's standing in the middle stage going, oh, he loses his train of thought. And he says, oh, what am I doing here? Okay. None of this is a secret. And all these people that you see in the mainstream media, they are not journalists. They are Democrat operatives.
They're cover-ups.
They are the elites, and they know Joe Biden. They talk to Joe Biden. They talk to staff members. They're all tied in together. It's one big, giant, disgusting, elite, incestuous family.
Orgy.
Okay? It's a disgusting group of elites and experts that think that they're better than you, and they all talk in the most snobby ways to each other about how they're better than you, and they talk to each other all the time. So the fact that they come out after this debate trying to pretend as if they're stunned by how dementia-riddled Joe Biden is the most absurd thing ever. First off, conservative media has been talking about this for almost 5 years now. 5 years. Tucker Carlson told a story the other day where he had a good friend that's friends with the Biden family. And when Biden was running in 2019 in the Democrat primary, he lost Iowa and he lost New Hampshire. Okay. But so he gets smoked at the beginning of it. And his family's really upset because he's got dementia and he's running for president. And they figured, well, he just needs to get this out of his system. It'll pass. He'll lose and it'll be fine. Well, that's not the way that went, because they couldn't have Bernie Sanders win because, well, he openly declares himself a socialist.
Yeah.
He's actually a communist, but so is the rest of the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
And then you have the rest of the progressives in the Republican Party, the establishment side of the Republican Party, that they are just as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than the actual overt communists themselves.
The wolf in sheep's clothing.
You have these people acting as if they're stunned. And it's so ridiculous, and it's such an insult to your intelligence, because you guys, they all knew. They all knew. Let's start with this. They all knew Joe Biden's an idiot.
We all.
From the beginning. And I'm not talking about since the beginning of the presidency. Since like 1972, they know Joe Biden is an idiot. He is a 100% idiot. It's the reason why the Clintons hate him. It's the reason why the Obamas hate him. He's an idiot. It's a reason why Obama said, never underestimate Joe's ability to F something up. Okay. Direct quote from their god, Barry Obama, Barack Hussein Obama himself. Barack Hussein Obama.
All you can do is shake your head.
And Big Mike, they can't stand the Bidens. And one, there's also another quote from Barack Obama where he and Joe Biden are doing an event. This was years ago. And Joe Biden does something weird on stage. He probably sniffs some woman or some young girl or something. And Obama looks at, I can't remember who he said it to, but he was like, there's some weird S going on at the Biden house. He said, I don't know what exactly, but there's some weird stuff. Yeah, showering with his daughter. Look, Joe Biden's a disgusting, awful human being, okay? And they've known this man is dementia-riddled. They've known he's an idiot for a long time. So the fact that they're acting surprised, they're just lying. And like so many things, they're just lying. It's all lies. It's all built on the back of lies. And these lies all started somewhere. There is a specific turning point, and it's funny. There's some direct ties now to the president and his wife and the situation they find themselves in, to the president who really got this all kicked off. So you know that we have only ever had one president that I know of. I think he's the only one that had a PhD. PhD.
I did not know that.
Do you know what his name was?
No, I don't.
His name was Woodrow Wilson.
That's not what I would have thought.
Woodrow Wilson was a progressive monster. And if you go back and look and study the actual history of Woodrow Wilson, and then, and in fact, do this with, we're going to talk about a few presidents here. Do this with all these presidents we talk about. And also, Glenn Beck did a, he's got a new series called The Beck Story, kind of play on words for the backstory, where he's talking about a lot of these progressives. Okay. And he has one episode where he tells a bunch of the story of Woodrow Wilson. And I would encourage you to go listen to that if you want to understand further the depth of the lies that you've been told your entire life as it relates to American history, what presidents were good presidents, what presidents were bad presidents. I want you to go learn as much as you can about these falling presidents that we're about to go talk about. Listen to the things that I say. Go do your own research. Find out the truth about these presidents.
If you can.
And then, yeah, good luck. Don't use Google.
Right.
And then go look about how the left, the mainstream media, then talks about these presidents.
Praise them.
They will put these guys on a pedestal way high on their list for how they're awful human beings.
People.
So Woodrow Wilson, PhD, was the president of Princeton University. He was the president during World War I.
Okay.
Woodrow Wilson, openly, open progressive eugenicist. By the way, eugenics. Woodrow Wilson and it was Woodrow Wilson, his administration, and a lot of his progressive doctors that they actually created the genetic programs that the Nazis ended up stealing.
By the way, Margaret Sanger is another eugenic. Margaret Sanger, the lady who started Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, with the expressed intention of killing black people.
Yes.
Reducing the black population of undesirable populations, she says.
How many people can go find an abortion clinic in their neighborhood?
Right. And sadly, what population has the largest, by far the largest percentage of abortions?
The black community.
Black community. Where are 90%+ of abortion, Planned Parenthood abortion clinics located at?
The black community.
Oh, wow.
Urban areas.
It's almost like they're actually just acting out Margaret Sanger's plan in real life and then telling you that it's women's rights.
Right.
And you,
it's reproductive care.
You have a right to kill that baby.
When did they come up with that reproductive health?
It's ridiculous. Crap. But Woodrow Wilson, a devout eugenicist who believed that we needed to thin out populations of undesirable communities.
Which is right there, like, really?
Yes.
Really?
And like I said, the Nazis actually did not create very many of their own ideas.
No.
Well, we're going to get into that too. But Woodrow Wilson was open and outward about the fact that he said the Constitution was an old dusty document that it had grown out of touch. We needed to get rid of it because it limited his power as the executive. He thought the executive needed more power because he thought he was so much smarter than everybody else.
How can you be the president and not have enough power? That makes no sense to me.
Well, because he doesn't want checks and balances. He doesn't want co-equal branches of government.
There you go.
Okay, he wants to be able to make executive decisions, and that is law. Well, that is totally antithetical to the system of government that we live under.
That's why he didn't like the Constitution.
He hated the Constitution because it restricted his power.
Makes sense.
Okay, we see a whole lot of executive orders. Donald Trump did a lot of executive orders, too. I don't like these executive orders. That's not the way things are supposed to operate.
That's why we have Congress.
Well, right. We live in a constitutional republic. Things are supposed to move slowly.
Yeah.
Okay? We are not a direct democracy because direct democracy is mob rule. Things move really fast.
We'd be voting a lot.
We would, and you also make a lot of rash decisions, emotional decisions that aren't well thought out decisions. There are specific reasons. If you go back and read the founders, there are specific reasons why they directly chose against direct democracy. In fact, there's quotes from the founders where they say direct democracies are as short-lived as they are violent.
Yeah.
They die violent deaths very shortly because it's mob rule. Yeah. It's 51% of the people imposing tyranny on 49%.
Popular vote, right?
Right. It's the mob. It's mob rule. So Woodrow Wilson was the one that largely created, he started to create a lot of these institutions. He also was the one that started started organizing with different nations around the world to try to build the League of Nations after World War I.
Globalism.
Which ultimately, that idea ended up becoming NATO, the United Nations. But
how does that correlate with Joe Biden?
How does it correlate with Joe Biden?
Woodrow Wilson and Joe Biden?
Well, because towards the end of Woodrow Wilson's presidency, he has a massive stroke. He is totally...
How can he be president?
He's totally incapacitated. His wife hides him away for 18 months.
What's her name, Dr. Jill?
18 months she hides him away. She won't let his cabinet see him.
That's what they're doing with Joe Biden.
She won't let anybody talk to him. They would come to the door. She would take their note. She would go into the room.
So she's making the call.
Pretend, yes, she was running the country for 18 months. Till they finally forced her to let them see President Woodrow Wilson because he was going to run. She had him signed up to run again.
And he couldn't even do anything.
He's totally incapacitated.
Wow. Way to go.
Okay.
Miss Wilson.
But the similarities to Joe Biden here are ridiculous. Really crazy.
They say right now that a lot of the people that work in the White House can't even talk face to face with Joe Biden. Like they are not even allowed to talk to Joe.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me. You should have heard. She had a speech out there the other day where she's it sounds like she's the one running for office.
Well, I mean, I
think it was yesterday.
She's got the power. She's a doctor. Hello.
And by the way, this is Tuesday, July 9th?
Yeah, my dad's birthday.
Tuesday, July 9th. So, yeah, I think it was yesterday. She's out giving a speech where it sounds like she's the one running for office. But Woodrow Wilson is this – he really starts to build up the class of the experts. And there's a lot of other things that go on the Woodrow Wilson presidency. But the worst that – and I can't remember the name of this. Oh, but – what they basically did is they took what eventually became the Federal Bureau of Investigations. I think it was just called the Bureau of Investigations at the time. And they outsourced the job because they knew that they couldn't spy on everybody. He wanted the opportunity and the ability to spy on everybody because World War One, they're worried about sabotage and treason and all this stuff.
Terrorists.
But he's really more concerned about just having the power of having that mass amount of information on people, of being able to control people. So what he does, what they do is they go around and they get hundreds of thousands of Americans from around the country and they deputize and they even give them these fake little badges.
What?
And they go around spying on their neighbors. Digging.
Isn't that what they did? Isn't what the Nazis and shit did?
Oh yeah. Remember, I told you that the Nazis came up with very few of their own ideas.
That's true.
They actually stole them from us.
Makes sense.
Most of the Nazis' ideas of many of the horrible things that they did were ideas that they took from us and implemented them into real life action. And if you don't believe me, go read about the Nuremberg trials where the Nazis literally bring in the American progressive books where the plan is laid out and they say, this is where we got it all. It's right here. We got it from the Americans.
When you actually learn the true history of, you know, what's happened in America over the past 100 years, it kind of makes you not want to be an American anymore because you're like, no wonder the entire world hates us because you've seen the horrible things that the Americans, not the good Americans, but the bad Americans have done.
And the problem is that the bad Americans are a very few people.
But they know how to get into power.
Well, that's right. They get into power and they wield power, the expert class. But this is what Wilson did. He had people spying on their neighbors. There's this horrifying, tragic story of this poor German man that literally gets lynched by a group of people that, and it was all organized by these deputized American citizens from Woodrow Wilson's government spying on people. And the dude had done not a damn thing wrong. And the last thing he did, because he was German and they thought he had done something bad. And they're, you know, we're fighting against the Germans in World War I.
Right.
So the last thing the dude does is he hits his knees and prays and they give him just long enough to write a note to his mom and dad where he says, "Dear mom and dad, I'm sorry. I love you. I won't be making it home." Like, he, just long enough to get that out.
Wow.
And they hang the dude.
Wow.
And then they leave him hanging there with two guys watching him for hours because they wouldn't let anybody cut him down.
What?
This is what happens when you allow your federal government to grow out of control. But these are also the stories that history, that our education system doesn't tell you about the United States of America. The things that people need to understand,
you know, kind of reminds
about
me.
How, and I started with Woodrow Wilson because this is how we get
right
to where we are now. You guys, we are not at the beginning of some communist revolution. No,
this is the end.
We are at the end.
This is what they want.
This is the end point. The absolute destruction of the United States of America. I don't say this to scare anybody, but you guys...
You should be scared.
And I don't say this hyperbole. You'll hear the Democrats say, this could be the last election that we ever have. First off, understand that they are... The mainstream media are incredible projectionists.
Yes.
This could be the last election we ever have. Donald Trump gets elected. No, I think they might be right. This may actually be the very last election we ever have. But it's not if Donald Trump wins.
Right.
It's not if Donald Trump wins.
No.
If the left wins here, they're going to, or cheats and wins.
Good luck.
Which scares me.
I know.
Pray every day. You guys, please pray every day for God to expose these lies, to give us the courage to stand up against the liars, to expose the problems, to stand up to the problems that we have
and
have the courage to solve them. And some of these things, God is working. I can feel it in my soul.
He showed us
a lot. There are more people turning to God. You know, in times of desperation, people tend to, you know, when they don't feel like they have anywhere else to turn,
right,
they turn to God. But now, that needs to not be the time that we turn to God. It's one of the reasons that we find ourselves in the position that we are now. We turned away from God.
Right.
And part of having God being a primary part of your life is that you don't lie.
Well, you feel
you don't
always know
lie.
You're going to be held accountable
right
for everything you do. And if you look at life and you say, would my mom be okay with me doing this? And that's how you choose to do things. Look at life and say, would God be okay with me doing this? Because guess what? He sees it. And at the end of your life, all that stuff that you were like, well, should I really do this? Is God watching? Or what, you know, would my mom be okay with me doing this? Well, it's probably not okay.
And you know, it's not to say that
everybody's
perfect. We're expected to be perfect. Obviously, that's why God sent his only begotten son to earth to die and made him feel the pain and suffering that he went through.
Christ
he didn't dead. Block any of the pain. Christ has to feel the absolute excruciating pain and suffering from the crucifixion.
He still says, forgive them.
He does. He does. Now, I think that in many ways, you know, and a lot of this starts during Woodrow Wilson's time, too, where they really start to push away from organized Christianity.
Well, it's funny.
They are trying to remove God from the equation. They don't want God to be a part of American society because they know that Christians are the hardest. We're an ornery bunch. They're the hardest ones to control because we will, despite being the kindest, most caring, most charitable, most giving people in the world, we will bow to no man.
It's in the commandments.
You shall have no God before me, other than me.
No idols.
You know, you shall have no God other than me.
Right.
I am the one.
The one and the only. Big G.
That's right. And that makes us dangerous
to them.
It makes us really dangerous to them. And that's why you see the federal government arresting people for praying outside of abortion clinics, for going into and spying on churches. There's a reason why you see Christians being targeted. Christians are the most dangerous group of people to them. Sadly, we've been taught as Christians many lies in the United States of America that we should be the turn the other cheek. Christians.
We should be, yeah.
And
tolerant.
Right. The tolerance game, right?
Mm, yeah.
Well, Jesus wasn't very tolerant when he went into the temple and turned the tables on the money changers and got the whips out.
Mm.
Okay. He wasn't very tolerant in the face of that evil.
They were stealing.
Right. He was not. There is a massive difference between turn the other cheek when it's a needless fight that you don't need to get in, and standing up for yourself and being courageous for the things that you believe in.
Right.
For things that you know are good and true. And all you have to do is read through the Bible. It is full of righteous warriors and kings and rulers that...
And imperfect people.
Highly imperfect people that seek forgiveness and they find ways to live a better life. But they are not turn the other cheek cowards.
You can't be always turn the other cheek. You can't.
And that's exactly what the Woodrow Wilson types want you to do. They've lied to us desperately about Woodrow Wilson. FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Okay. Roosevelt is an interesting character as a president. One, we are told without any question that Roosevelt is the best president that we ever had because he got us through World War II and got us out of the Great Depression and blah, 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 blah. His New Deal program got us out of the Great Depression. That is a bunch of garbage. First off,
huge racist.
Yes. Did not invite Jesse Owens to the White House.
The Olympian?
Yeah.
The runner?
Yeah.
Wow.
All the other white Olympians, they got invited to come to the White House, gold medals, all stuff. They went to Nazi Germany, you know.
Wow.
But that was the Olympic Games that Jesse Owens blew it up. When Jesse Owens comes back and he's asked about it, about how bad Hitler was, and he says, you know, well, Hitler never snubbed me from celebrating my gold medals.
Wow.
Hitler never called me a name. That's what it, and just,
that doesn't tell you everything.
And Jesse Owens votes against FDR openly. He votes against him.
That's awesome.
But FDR creates the New Deal, which further expands this massive, FDR is a huge follower and supporter of Woodrow Wilson. He's a progressive. Okay. he takes the New Deal. The New Deal takes the Woodrow Wilson starting to build of the expert class and the bureaucracy of the federal government. It takes it to a whole nother level with his New Deal.
It's funny because the Woodrow Wilson thing, you said he was giving people the little deputy things, kind of reminds me of the Red Guard with Mao.
Yeah.
Right?
It's
very similar, right?
Yes.
That's just what I thought. Sorry, I had to throw that out there.
But so, I mean, obviously, there are good things that come out of the New Deal. All right. So yeah, it does put people back to work. It does build our national highway systems, but it is not the thing that drags us out of the Great Depression. What really drags us out of the Great Depression and gets the economy really roaring forward is the war.
Yeah.
It's the war because all the factories are running full time building planes and ships and guns and ammunition and tanks. And it's not just that. They also have to blankets and uniforms.
Yeah, socks.
And every single thing that you need to support a war. So all the women go to work. Everybody's working. You're either fighting the war or working for the betterment of the war. Okay, but they're also producing products here in the United States. Also, a lot of that industry building at the time is where we have a lot of technological advancement at the time. You know, a lot of people look at the Manhattan Project that they did and they think that the atomic bomb came out of that. There were a number of developments that came out of...
By the way, a lot of people don't even know what that is.
The Manhattan Project is the, you know, if you watch the Oppenheimer movie... He's operating the Manhattan Project to create the nuclear bomb because they're afraid the Nazis are going to get the bomb first. All right. And so that's a whole nother thing.
It's a whole nother show.
Project Paperclip, where we go over to Germany in World War II, and all these awful eugenicist Nazi doctors that are doing all these terrible, awful things that are horrible, horrible anti-Semites that are full-fledged communists that hate everything that the United States of America stands for. We bring them over here so that we can allow them to continue their work.
What a good idea.
Many of them are doctors that come here to the United States and they do horrific experiments to people. Things like the Tuskegee experiments. You know, when we hear about Tuskegee now, we think about the Red Tails and the Tuskegee Airmen.
Right.
Well, they've really glorified that story. They were doing awful, disgusting medical experimentation on Black Americans.
Because they're Black.
That's right.
Wow.
That's
racist
right.
Racist people.
Okay. And so, yet again, we find where the Nazis here, this is a...
It could go on for hours.
This one really makes me. So like FDR, that is a total fallacy that he is the superhero that they portray him to be. He is a horrible bigot. He is a big government progressive socialist at best.
He's an expert class.
Okay. He is quite fond and quite enjoys his relationship with Joseph Stalin.
Oh, wow.
Okay. He is the one that oversupplied Joseph Stalin, that in many ways allowed them to build the Soviet Union that led us to the Cold War.
Stalin, you mean the guy who said, oh, people that die are just numbers?
Yeah, who said that one person dies is a tragedy, a million people die, it's a statistic? Yeah, wow. That Stalin. You know, the guy that... You know, create the creative Stalinism and the awful starved tens of millions of his own people to death, and was the reason that he.
Let me ask you this: has there ever been a communist in history that was successful?
No, it always fails. And what you'll hear the communists say today is, "Well, true communism's never been tried. That's why it failed."
Oh, you can do it better, huh?
Well. True communism fails because it is inherently against human nature. Okay? You're never going to have a society where they just evenly divvy everything out to each person the same. One, it's stupid.
Yeah.
Okay? Because, look, I hate to tell you this, but some people are better at other things that are more valuable than other people are.
I wouldn't want to be playing basketball against LeBron James.
Right.
Just saying.
Who's a horrible...
Not saying he's a good guy, but he's a good basketball player.
Right, right. So like Michael Jordan was born to play basketball, right? And, you know, most people were absolutely not born to play basketball like that. He has a unique skill set that in capitalism allows him to be compensated uniquely
for his
unique skill set, right? So communism fundamentally goes against human nature. You're always going to have some alpha personality that rises to the leadership program. And in communism, where they have such central planning, tremendous control over the population, they're never going to divvy that out evenly. It never happens that way. That you end up with an elite group of people. It ends up turning into some type of oligarchy where you have an elite group of really rich people that just lord over the peasants,
the have and have nots
down below, which is what Joe Biden and the left are doing here in the United States, destroying the middle class. The wealthy, the richest 10% have never done better in this country.
Oh, the stock market's killing it.
They're doing incredible right now while the Biden administration is destroying the middle class and that gap, that wealth gap between the upper, between the elites and the middle class is getting larger and larger and larger to the point that we are bordering on destroying our entire middle class, which is really what makes the United States of America.
Right.
Is our thriving middle class, how huge we have a massive middle class as it relates to any other country in the history of the world. Our middle class here, and in fact, our lower middle class here, people here in the United States, we live with more luxuries in our life than kings and queens did in the past.
Yeah.
This is how blessed we have it now. And we see people running around talking about how terrible this country is. And it's really a joke. And, you know, we talked about the MAGA extremists before. But, oh, they're so extreme. And they like to call us Nazis, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They call us Nazis.
Yeah.
First off, the Nazis were not a Christian founded organization.
Right.
Okay, I guarantee you 99% of MAGA people you find are genuine, God-fearing, Jesus Christ-loving Christians.
That's true.
Okay, and they love their constitution.
They love their guns.
As Barack Obama would say, they're hanging on tight to their Bibles and their guns.
Damn right.
Yes. That's right, Barack Hussein Obama. Mm-mm-mm. yes, we do love our Bibles and our guns.
You're right.
In that order. But, okay, so they love to call us Nazis, which is the most absurd thing. This is the part I really, really wanted to get to in this episode.
Remember the projection thing.
Okay, so one, they don't teach kids, and they haven't taught this for generations. This has been back 100 plus years since Woodrow Wilson was president in the 1910s, World War I, okay, era. They haven't taught genuine American history in this country. It has all been left slanted.
Which is really funny if you look at why public school was created. Public school was created to indoctrinate the immigrant children that came over, the Ellis Island immigrants, their children that they brought over on American values. That's why public school was created.
Christian values.
Christian American values.
And to speak English.
And to speak English. And so that they could grow up and be functional, working Americans.
Right. So we had a common language and a common culture.
Right. So we could all get together and be good.
And so while, yes, the melting pot theory kind of, because we did, there are immigrants from all around the world that kind of came here that made this country.
Which they vetted.
The one unifying thing that we've had up until the end of this communist revolution that we're experiencing now, this long march through the institutions, this Cloward Piven final part of the revolution takeover, is we all had that common theme of an American culture.
Right.
Like we understood what it was to be an American 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
Since Reagan left office, that has really been destroyed because you've had progressives on the right and left, globalists running the country. But now that you have this group of America First conservatives, these God-fearing American patriots, right? These Christian nationalists, populist nationalists, so they say, and we're going to get into that. But they call us Nazis. They call us Nazis because they say that the Nazis were right-wing fascists. Okay?
Ha.
First off, fascism and nationalist are terms that are either popularized or created during or right after World War II.
Yeah.
We don't teach communism in this country. We don't teach it at all. We don't teach our kids about in-depth history of Stalinism, Leninism, Maoism, Pol Pot, all these. We don't even teach our kids about Fidel Castro and the ridiculous, awful, terrible things that dude did 90 miles off our coastline.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't teach communism, and we haven't for generations, and it's on purpose.
Yeah.
They don't want to tell the story of communism because who the hell would want to do that if they actually told you the truth about it?
Well, and then they know people would look around and be like, well, that's what they're doing now.
They would make the correlation. What? Wait, 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 wait. I've heard these policies before.
Yeah.
I've seen these movements before. I've seen these BLM and Antifa, these chaos agents before. Yeah. I've seen what this violence in the streets looks like. I've seen what this leads to, why this happens. I can put the pieces together.
Yeah.
They can't teach you that.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to do that.
But the problem with the Nazis was they told the story.
Told too much.
They told the story. And they told too much of the story. Despite the fact that FDR, collaborating with the New York Times, tried to lie about the Holocaust.
The New York Times, what?
The paper of record, the gray lady. Yes,
oh,
I know.
Yeah. The great truth teller.
Right. They tried to cover up the Holocaust. 4 years. It was FDR that turned away
the immigrants.
The Jews.
You're the Jews, yeah.
With a ship of Jews that had left Germany trying to not, get taken into concentration camps.
Hello.
Got turned away.
By FDR.
Yes. Mm. And the mass percentage of people on that boat ended up dying in concentration camps.
Wow.
At the hands of eugenicist doctors who learned their techniques from American progressives like Woodrow Wilson.
The experts.
The expert class.
Mm.
Yes.
It makes you not even want to trust a doctor at all.
But the terms fascism and nationalism had to be created or popularized to describe the Nazis because they told too much of the Nazi story.
Yeah.
They told too much of it.
They had to make them bad guys.
Okay. And so they have to create this fascism term and start to use this to describe Mussolini and Hitler so that they can call them right wing. Mm. We have to say, oh, they're right wing, they're right wing, well, they're right wing.
They like to take a bit of the truth and spin it.
Yeah. So the funny thing about that is that Hitler was a communist when he was younger. When he was a younger man, he was a communist. When he decides, when the Weimar Republic gets totally ridiculous and they're pushing this trans stuff like they are now, hyperinflation, Germany has been destroyed by the Treaty of Versailles, in which we, among with other European countries, imposed crippling sanctions on the German people, in which they were never going to be able to get out from under. So this was always going to lead to another conflict. They knew it would lead to another war. They knew it.
They pushed it.
And the Rothschilds and
fake money
and others who get involved, who print a bunch of counterfeit money into Germany to create the hyperinflation.
So you're telling me the experts, they're the elite class, are the ones who started that war?
It's almost always banks and elites throughout history. If you look at the actual history that start these massive wars.
Yeah.
And
fund them.
It's banks, bankers, or elites that start these massive wars, and then they send middle class sons to go fight and die for their elite disputes. But here's the thing. Okay, they create fascism and nationalism. Okay, so caring about your country. First off, nationalism used to be defined called patriotism. Loving one's country.
That makes sense.
Okay, so if you're a nationalist, you love your country.
Which is a good thing, I would think.
Yes, I would think that anybody who...
Not a derogatory term.
Anybody living in the country that they want to be in would be considered a nationalist. But the term fascism is interesting because they start describing Mussolini and Hitler as fascists. You hear this term really becomes popularized during World War II. And they associate this with right-wing ideology. The funny thing is there is absolutely nothing about Adolf Hitler that is right-wing. Not a single thing, starting with the fact that he was insistent that when they created the Nazi Party, that term Nazi was his idea because he wanted to ensure that the name socialist remained in the party name. Nazi Party is the National Socialist Party.
Oh, that's what it stands for.
Okay, socialism is not a right-wing ideology. Hitler is not a Christian. He is not a Christian in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, he don't believe in God.
Christianity is not a part of Nazism. It's not a part at all. If you go back and look at the things that they did, that they wanted to do. What else do they do? They take away the guns.
It's easy to kill people if they don't have anything to protect themselves.
Okay, they start imposing these eugenicist programs in the concentration camps that they learned from the Americans. What else do they do? They go around and they start deputizing people.
And they tell them, tell on your neighbors.
To tell on their neighbors.
Wow, where have we seen that? Who did that? Woodrow Wilson?
Copying Woodrow Wilson's program from the United States of America.
Wow.
This is how many, many, many people were sent to the concentration camps in Germany.
By their neighbors.
Because their neighbors told on them.
Because their neighbors were afraid or Nazis.
And this is how you get everybody at the appearance that they support the Nazis because they're afraid to not support the Nazis because they don't know which neighbor is going to tell on them or not.
They're going to get killed.
They're afraid to rise up because Hitler's got the brown shirts wandering around the streets, killing people. You got the SS running around, the Gestapo. They've got all these federal bureaucratic organizations that are loyal to Hitler himself, who's operating a socialist government.
Wow, it sounds
right?
So familiar.
Okay. And so he takes away people's free speech. Okay, that's one of the first things he does. He starts controlling the media organizations.
Right, papers.
Controlling the media outlets, newspapers. They start spreading propaganda. They start censoring everything that goes in the paper, everything that goes on the radio. None of this is right wing. None of this are right wing principles or ideologies. They simply called him right wing because they told too much of the story and exposed themselves. They exposed themselves for their own ideology, their own ideas that the Nazis used. They couldn't let it get out that the horrible things the Nazis had done, Those seeds had actually grown out of the United States. Those ideas had grown out of American progressives and then were put into place, implemented, put into action by the Nazis in Germany. They simply implemented American progressives' plan, so they had to hide it.
Right. They didn't want anybody to correlate.
They had to hide it because they needed to continue to run their game here.
Yeah. And they still are.
Okay. So Hitler is not a right-wing person, political figure in history. He is a communist dictator.
Yep.
Okay. He is a dictator of a country in which he central plans everything. Central plans everything, economic, socially, militarily. It is all central planned. That is not a right-wing principle.
That's communist
principle. Okay, and by the way, they say, oh, these Christian nationalists, they ask them what a right-winger is.
It's extremist.
They can't tell you.
I couldn't
tell They you. Can't tell you. All it is somebody who doesn't believe in their communism. If you don't believe in their communism, you're a right-wing fascist.
You're an is.
That's what they say. Ask them to define these things. They can't. They don't know.
That's
they
true.
Don't know. They can't define it because they don't have any legitimate argument behind it. There is no truth, no evidence, no facts behind their stories.
Yeah,
now, they have taken over the educational systems,
yeah.
So they've written books that give some type of appearance as if right-wing fascism is an actual thing that Hitler actually was, but he wasn't. Every governing principle that the man lives by is only similar to Stalin, Lenin, Mao, yep. And the Democrat frickin' party.
Woodrow Wilson.
And progressives.
That's crazy.
Okay, so we've hit Woodrow Wilson. We've hit FDR a bit. We've hit the Nazis. I'm going to hit the last one here, which is Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Ugh.
LBJ, the civil rights activist himself, who was an absolute devout racist to the day that he died. The fact that that awful, disgusting man gets any credit historically for the Civil Rights Act makes me want to throw up in my mouth.
How does a racist?
That dude was dropping N-bombs. The N-word, the no-no word, right? That dude was dropping N-bombs to the day he died.
How does a racist...
On his deathbed.
How does that work?
Okay. Well, here's the game. In the late 1950s to early 1960s, the Republicans who were the party created as abolitionists to abolish slavery...
Okay.
Okay. The Republicans, the party of Abraham Lincoln, who was the first Republican president out of the abolitionist movement, out of the abolitionist party, the Republican Party. Okay, by the way, for years and years and years after the Civil War, every black politician was a Republican. There were no Democrats. This didn't start until the mid-1960s, okay? And this only happens because in the early 1950s to late 1960s, the Republicans have this really meaty, really heavy Civil Rights Act that they want to pass. They want to get this bill passed. They want to end Jim Crow. They want to end all the racism, the segregation, and all the different things that are going on in the country at the time.
Which is a good thing.
Right. This is a Republican bill.
Oh,
and yeah. There are real punishments. There are real teeth for violating these laws and this act.
So what do they do with it?
The act gets shot down by Lyndon Baines Johnson.
What?
For years.
Well, he is racist, so.
For years. Okay. Finally, JFK, a young man who they believed was too young. It wasn't his turn to be president, but the American
not his turn.
Right.
Wow.
But this is how the deep state establishment works. But the American people wanted him. OK, he's a devout Catholic. They hate him.
They don't like
they hate
him.
How much he talks about God.
They shoot him.
They hate how much of a populist he is. JFK, an economic populist, they can't stand that he doesn't want to be involved in all these foreign conflicts and all these foreign wars. They can't stand that he doesn't want to get involved in their foreign engagements. JFK would be a Republican today. In fact, JFK would be an America First MAGA Republican today.
MAGA.
So if he simply lived under the same policies that he governed under at the time, he also makes some economic decisions that really they really don't like. They really piss them off. But he is basically forced to take on LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, as his vice president. And they sell him that it will give him credibility because he'll have an established, experienced politician.
Kind of like the way they're saying that Trump should do with Nikki Haley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, it's laughable.
Yeah. Or Doug Burgum.
Or any of the other establishment hacks that are in there.
Right. So they force him to take on LBJ. LBJ is tied into the deep state. He's tied into these big money bankers. He's tied into the economic system. Okay. He is a he's tied into some really powerful parts, some really powerful people. Well, and you can go way down the rabbit hole on some of this JFK stuff, but there's a lot of evidence to prove that LBJ was at a bare minimum involved or knew something about the JFK situation.
Why do you think they won't release the files?
I know.
There's a reason. They did all this.
I know. And it's not because it's damaging to it's damaging to the Democrat Party and to communists.
Right.
They hide those things. Trust me, if they could find documents that were damaging to the founders of the country that believed in God, they would release it all.
Yeah.
If they could find damaging evidence on Abraham Lincoln, they'd dump it.
It's surprising to me they even teach us about any of these people.
But they won't dump damaging information on the communists, and they won't dump damaging information on the progressives.
There's a reason they don't teach you about it.
Okay, so Lyndon Baines Johnson kills the Civil Rights Act for years and years and years till the movement grows so big.
And you can't do anything.
That anymore. The Democrats realize that this movement, it's real.
It's a problem.
It's real, and they're going to have to do something about it, or they're going to get run out.
It's a problem.
Okay.
We got to fix this.
So what happens is they and I don't know if I even want to go here. They designate MLK as the leader of their movement. Okay.
We're not going to go on.
You can go. There's Charlie Kirk episodes. There's what's the name of the pastor?
I can't remember his name.
Oh, Vince Everett Ellison.
Yes, he's
okay.
Awesome.
If you go listen to Vince Everett Ellison, you want to hear some truth about Martin Luther King Jr. And I know that that's the third rail, because if you poll test, Martin Luther King Jr. poll tests higher than Jesus Christ,
which is ridiculous.
It is the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life. Okay, is it really that serious that we can say that, you know, that we can talk about mistakes that a man made? He's not Jesus Christ. He did make mistakes.
Everybody makes mistakes.
Okay. My only point on that is he's just not lies, and more damn lies.
He's not what they sold
him. It's not what we've been told. Okay. I'm not saying he's a bad man. I'm just saying it's not what we've been told.
He wasn't a good man. I'll say it.
LBJ sees that this is a real thing and that he needs to use this politically, or else it's going to destroy him and his party. So he spins the bill around, takes all the teeth out of it, takes all the stuff out of it that actually makes it a genuine functional bill to force actual lawful change in the United States of America, gives that to the Democrat Party, they push it up, and he passes the bill and takes credit for the Civil Rights Act right there. Boom.
Well, what's crazy is what came from that is that, and this is kind of goes back to the whole eugenicist thing, before the Civil Rights Act, 80% of black families were two-parent families.
That's right.
After the Civil Rights Act, and they implemented these socialist programs, and they make it bad for you to have two parents in the household.
Eugenics programs.
Margaret Sanger. Okay. You now have 20% of black families have two-parent households. Only 20%. That means 80% are single parent households.
It's a tragedy.
Mostly single mother households, because they don't allow you to have a father in the home, or you don't get government assistance anymore. We're going to take away your food stamps and we're going to quit helping you if you have daddy there. Why? Why would that be? Maybe it's because all children need a positive male role model in their lives.
Especially young men.
It is so hard as a woman to teach a young man how to be masculine, because how am I supposed to know that? I'm not a man.
But
we see now these men growing up that I can't tell if they're gay or not, because they're not masculine at all.
But this is a common tactic.
Right.
This is a common tactic amongst the progressives who are ultimately communists. They love to tell us about the Red Scare and the McCarthy era and how terrible of a person McCarthy was because he was going around making up the fact that people were communists. No, they dropped McCarthy's evidence that he had on people.
They were communists.
Years after the fact, they were communists. McCarthy didn't go far enough.
They wouldn't let him.
He didn't only not go too far. McCarthy didn't go far enough, and he was on the right track. But the communists that had already infiltrated the government
shut it down.
Shut that down. The same people that manipulated the Civil Rights Bill to take the teeth out of it to try to convince the black community and the black population that they needed rich white liberals.
Yeah. You will never be free as a black person, ever. I don't really understand that because you're born free. You live in America.
Right.
How are you not free?
Well, Jesus Christ and God told you that you were free. Your freedom doesn't come from a man.
No.
Your freedom comes from no man. It comes from God.
Comes from God. My rights come from God, not the government.
And no man can take that from you.
Unless you allow them. People will only treat you the way you allow them to treat you.
And the black community is waking up to this.
Yes, they are.
The black community is waking
up. They're seeing it.
And the Democrat Party is getting very, very scared.
And it's not just the black community. I will say this. It is the impoverished Americans. It is the people that have grown up in the lower middle class families that, you know, didn't have a ton of money, maybe got government help. Those people were the ones that were so easy to indoctrinate. And I only say that because I am one of those people. So I'm allowed. So on that, I'm allowed to say that.
Well, what demographic tends to live in the most impoverished areas of the country?
The black community.
That's right. They have been targeted by this Democrat, progressive,
right,
eugenics ideology that is specifically designated to reduce the populations of the undesirable communities. These are their words.
Which is just so
they
disgusting.
Wrote these things. They said these things on public interviews.
Yeah.
All this information is out there. Now, look, those in charge, the progressives in charge now, and that includes the progressives in charge of the social media companies and the tech companies, they don't want you to find this information. They're not going to make it easy for you to find it. But it's out there, and you can find it in their own words, in their own writings. Everything that I have told you is 100% true today. I wouldn't have said it if I didn't know it to be true, if I hadn't read it and researched it myself. And please, by all means, don't believe me.
Right.
Don't. Go research it yourself. Please do. And when you find out that I told you the truth, go spread that information to somebody else, because this is the critical piece here, is that we no longer stay ignorant,
right,
and we no longer believe their lies, their misrepresentations, the lies about our history, the lies about the economic numbers that they give to us. Inflation's not up 20%, and you all know that. If you shop at a grocery store, you know inflation is not 20%.
It's like 75%.
And that's probably a low number, you know, right. Cost of housing is up like 151%.
You're paying double for your mortgage. Double.
I want you guys to know the economic numbers that they have been giving you recently. They have manipulated those numbers and those formulas that they're using in ways that no prior administration in American history has ever done. They're not fully calculating food and housing into the inflation rate.
Well, and did you know that when they do the jobs thing of how many jobs are out now, like this is how many jobs has grown, they only calculate the people that are actively looking for jobs. Like, so you're not even calculating the people that aren't looking for jobs, which is a huge portion right now. People are so lazy from the pandemic.
And in the last 4 years under the Biden administration, every new job that has been created has gone to a foreign-born person.
Not a American.
Not American citizens.
How are you even allowed to get a job if you're illegal?
Well, they walk them across the border and they give them work visas. And then they give them Social Security and Medicare.
Oh, yeah. They give them all government assistance.
Yeah.
How many is it in Europe? There's like 90% of Muslim families in Europe.
I think it's 95% of Muslim women are on
government assistance.
And, wow, you know, they're bringing in they're bringing in Muslim populations from
flying.
North Africa
and
the Middle East into this country. I want to say it was 60% of, and I'm sure this number is way higher now because all the numbers they give you are lies.
Yeah.
All the numbers they give you are lies. The GDP numbers are so false. But anyhow, I think it's like 60% of illegal immigrants are on
government assistance.
Is it illegal? I don't quote me on that number, but there's a lot of illegal immigrants. We are spending a ton of money giving away to people who have no right, no legal right to be here, who aren't contributing back, who aren't paying taxes, who aren't doing the things that the rest of us have to do.
So they come here illegally. They jump the border. They come over here and then they go to a shelter. The shelter allows them to stay there for 90 days where they are fed 3 meals a day in a luxurious hotel, by the way. And this is all from taxpayer dollars. And then they tell them after 90 days, okay, you have to leave the shelter or file for a 60-day extension, which most of them are granted. So they come here and they get nothing but handouts. So they're coming over here loving this thing. This is great.
Yeah, it's free.
I mean, we all seen the Venezuelan kid on TikTok that was like, oh, come over here and have a baby. My baby gave me Americanism or
citizenship.
There we go. Come here, word. Sorry.
Yes, it's an anchor baby.
It's an anchor baby.
And
come here and have a baby.
And we haven't even gotten into the fact that they're just raping and murdering the women.
And the fentanyl crisis.
Hey,
nobody's even touching that.
Hey, men of Western society, because I know that there's people that listen to this from different countries. When are we going to stand up and say, no, you're not going to treat our women this way?
Well, you got to respect women.
And I don't care what their... I don't care what their religious background is. I don't care what country they came from. I don't care what their skin color is. I don't care about any of that. When are the men in society going to stand up and say, you are not going to mistreat, rape, and murder our women?
When are the women going to stand up and say anything?
Not going to happen.
What happened to the feminists? Where'd they go? Oh, wait, they're all men now. Because they all disappeared when they started saying, hey, why don't we let little boys play in girls' sports so they can whoop their butts? Because that's a great idea. Let's give a guy a trophy for kicking some girl's butt.
You guys, this whole episode's been one giant rant, and I don't know whether to apologize for that or to say, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
But I really, again, apologize to you guys for being gone for so long. I'm sorry it's so long between episodes. There's so much to stuff into these episodes and we don't do them frequently enough that
it's hard to get time to do them when you have kids and
it's
jobs
tough.
And, lives. When you have a normal life and you're trying to get by on this Bidenomics crap.
And so, you guys, please do not be afraid to talk about this stuff with people. If you are feeling it, if you are seeing it, okay, if you're experiencing something yourself, you're not alone in experiencing that. If you are struggling to buy food, if you are incensed and offended every time you go to the gas pump, if you look at your electric bill every month and you're like, what in goodness gracious, what is going on here? You are not alone in that.
No, we're all feeling it.
And even if you feel like you are alone in that, you are never alone with God and with Christ. Ever. Ever. Always hold them near and dear to your heart. That is the best advice that I can give to you. You'll never feel alone. You'll never feel like you have to walk difficult paths on your own. And you'll always feel like you have somebody there celebrating with you when you do succeed in things.
And I will say this. If you do not speak, you will never be heard. And I'm not saying that in a sense of like, oh, speak up, be loud. But kind of, if you do not speak on something, no one will ever hear you. So speak up. Don't be afraid to speak up. Say how you feel. And if people don't like it, who cares? You don't like what's going on right now. No one likes what's going on right now. You should be PO'd. We all are.
we all need to get out to register to vote.
And we didn't vote.
And we need to put Donald Trump and as many America-loving patriots as we can back in office to help save this country.
Because if we don't, it's going down.
And I said earlier, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that this actually is the last election. The media is saying that, and they are projectionists, and they are liars, and they are propaganda spreaders. The entire episode is built on talking about the lies that have been fed to us for over 100 years to get us to the point that we're at right now.
And what they haven't taught us. They don't want to teach us our rights because they don't want us to know our rights. They don't want to teach us the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence because then we'll know that we have the right to stand up and fight against it.
It's easier to take your rights away if you don't know what they are.
That's true.
And it's easier to take your rights away if you don't believe in God.
That's even more true.
Because you believe that those rights come from a man, and so a man can take them. If you believe in God, you believe in Jesus Christ, you know that there is no man that can take those rights from you. There is no man because they didn't give them, so they can't take them. They're not theirs to take. So I'll wrap this thing up here, guys. I want to thank all of you so much for listening. I'm sorry it's been so long. Please don't be afraid to talk to people about these things going on. I can feel it in my soul that God is on the move, that he is shining light into people's hearts and heads. He is bringing them closer to him. He is exposing the lies. He is showing people the truth, that he is the truth.
He's turning the lights on.
Let other people hear the truth that you see and feel.
Can't hide the truth.
Believe in the foundation. If you live in Western civilization, it is built on the back of Christianity and the Bible, you guys. There is no way around it. Do not let them steal those values, those morals that are the foundation of the countries that you live in that you're proud of.
And if you're not proud to be here, then leave.
You should be proud of those things because Western civilization and largely the United States of America have built things, built societies the likes the world has never seen before, built prosperity and success for people in ways that people never thought were possible.
We're pretty awesome.
So do not apologize for your ancestors and their success, for the legacy of Western civilization and the amazing things that we have given to the world. Those who believe they want to destroy it will rue the day if they do, because they will desperately, desperately desire to get it back. Mm-hmm. Because communism always eats itself. Nobody is spared from the list. Every dissenter must go. Everybody must fall in line, no matter how disgusting or evil the policy is, and no matter how much you disagree with it. Stand up for your beliefs. Stand up for your rights. Always, always, always go talk to people. Talk to your friends. Talk to your family. Talk to anybody that wants to listen about the issues that are going on. Please do not operate with fear. Fear does not come from God.
No.
Fear comes from the devil. Fear is not an emotion given to us by God.
False evidence appearing real.
So, on the end of that, you guys, I'd like to say thank you again for listening. I know it's been a long episode and a lot going on here. I hope that the history that I tried to shine a little bit of light on, that we tried to shine a little bit of light on, was helpful. I hope it spurs some curiosity and gets you guys going to go look to verify the things that I told you. And I hope that it helps you see and understand that the civilizations that you live in Western civilizations and Christian cultures is unlike anything the world has ever seen. It is the most charitable, most prosperous, most kind, most caring civilizations in the history of all mankind. And you should not apologize for that. You should be proud of that. And you should want to spread that.
You extremist.
So, you guys, thank you so much. Talk to your friends. Talk to your family.
Spread the word.
Talk to anybody that will listen. And always, always, always remember, the road to progress is paved
in facts,
not lies. Boom.